In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We were created to make the world a garden of life, where the life of all things praises Him. That is our calling in God's creation as human beings. We are the ones who were created to take all of the possibilities that exist in the world that God created and bring the best out of them. We were created to nurture the seeds of God's holy wisdom throughout all of creation. We were created and placed in a garden. And Adam and Eve, we're told in Genesis, were told, first of all, to fast. Don't eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But they ate of those things that God Himself had planted. They did not fast. Those special things whose time for them was not yet. And some have said that it may be that God had intended at some later time to say, now is the time. But we don't know. They didn't fast from those special foods, that they weren't ready for it. Instead, they ate of them right away. And so we too, in our lives, want, first of all, to fill ourselves, to fill our passions, to fill our desires. We think, first of all, of feeding the body and the eye, the ear and the hand, to do the things that we want to do, to listen to things that may be cruel and hurtful to others and make us feel special, separate from those others who are less than my special friends and I. We look on things that corrupt our souls and compromise us in ways that we're not even aware of. Our entertainment today is devoted almost exclusively to those things that erode and destroy our character and our sensitivity to the best things of God's world. Fasting is foreign to us. Tomorrow is the first day of the great fast of Lent. It is the springtime, a time to plant virtues in the heart, a time to purify the ground of the heart and plant the Word of God there. Those logi spermaticoi, those words, seeds, that are able to spring forth and grow into the fruit of divine wisdom. Logos, you know, meaning the Word of God. Word, logos, it means two things. It means, of course, as we usually translate it, word, but the same logos means seed. The seeds. The Word of God is the seed that is planted in our heart. And it is time for us to plant the seed of the Word of God in our heart, and to nurture the best things to grow within us. We were created to be gardeners. We were created to tend the first fruits that shoot up out of the ground, the first sprouts that are meant to grow into the full fruit of all of the possibilities of the world that we live in, and all of the possibilities of ourselves and our own lives. Without that spiritual tending, those intended fruits of God will never blossom forth, will never be given the opportunity to ripen. Before we eat the fruit of that kind of spiritual cooperation with God, there has to be a time of spiritual effort, a time of fasting instead of trying to eat the fruit before the seed is planted, before the plant is nurtured and grows. That's the work that we're doing in the great Lenten season. Now, when we first reach Lent, we think of it from a way of thinking that is more at home in a world without God. We think that Lenten fasting means abandoning the paradise of pork chops and near pornography that we entertain ourselves with on television. Lent is about giving something up. I think I'll give this up for Lent. Little token, little half a penny thrown into the collection plate for God. Well, it's Lent. You know, here you go. I won't do this. We'll give something up for Lent. This idea of the spirit of, well, giving something up for Lent, the idea is that the standard is that we deserve to have all of these good things. Surely God doesn't want us to give up our whole way of life. But the fact of the matter is, He does. Our whole way of life. Our whole life that is lived not from Him, but from the world. Where the body has its fill of whatever it desires. That's what we give up in order to begin the life that God has given us. Remember, after all, we're told we need to die to ourselves and enter into this new life, Christ's life. There is a difference between those two ways of life. Since the time that Adam and Eve left the garden, were expelled from the garden. Another word for today is the day of the expulsion of Adam and Eve from the garden. Why? Because they weren't gardening. They were eating the fruits that God had planted. They had turned away from Him, the source of life, and toward the fruit of the things that He had planted in the world. And no longer receiving life directly from Him, having turned toward the world He had created, there is no life in that. And so death came into the world, and so they were driven out of the Garden of Eden so that they could learn, so that they could make an effort in the world to live by the sweat of their brow. Farming, gardening, very difficult. Christ has come, the new Adam, and has given us a new way of life, a new paradise within which we can live. His own life has restored the pathway to paradise, to our receiving divine life, being alive, and our calling from the beginning has been restored to us. And it's the same calling to plant, to nurture, and to grow that within us that will bear the fruit of divine wisdom and love and joy and compassion. God has made it possible for us to do that. But most of the time we forget about it. And in the Lenten spring, we finally decide something must be done. And we leave behind the false garden of pleasures and feeding the passions of the body. And we abstain from giving our bodies our fill of whatever they happen to desire. And we enter into a spiritual struggle, a spiritual effort to clear away the ground within ourselves, to make a pure land within ourselves, so that we can, as we were always meant to, plant those seeds of divine life and nurture them. And do the things that nurture them. To read things that sustain us. To abstain from things that make us weaker. Living a life where meat and the fruit of animals, lives, and labors sustain us secondhand. Not that there's anything wrong with those things, but we are fasting from them. We don't think they're evil. We don't think that we're denying them to ourselves temporarily because we are too weak to deny them to ourselves permanently because, after all, they're not good. That's not what we think. Those things are fine for us to eat. Nothing wrong with a good steak. We'll have those things again. We're fasting from them for a particular purpose, clearing the ground so that we can plant things within ourselves that it's difficult to nurture and have grow when our passions and desires are pulling us in all of those worldly directions. And we don't do it in isolation. We do it together, all of us. Some are preparing to come into the new life of Christ for the first time in this season, the catechumens. But all of us need the cleansing effort that it takes in order to plant a new field. That's what you do in the spring. And that's what we're doing in Great Lent. We need to put behind us the idea that the Great Lenten fast is simply a matter of following the rule that during this season we're going to give up all this list of things. How virtuous we are. If we were to do 40 days of that kind of fast successfully, we would be so prideful, we'd be right up there with the best of the Pharisees. And we'd have no fruit at the end of that season. And when the time comes to celebrate the planting of the Word of God Himself, the seed goes into the ground and dies and springs forth and bears fruit. When the time comes for God Himself to die, to descend into the lower places and to ascend bearing life, we will not have participated in that effort. We will not have been the gardeners that God created us to be. We won't be able to celebrate the fruit of the tree of eternal life. That tree upon which Christ will hang and where he will destroy the power of death over us and offer us the fruit of his life and labor, his gardening in the world, the fruit of eternal life, the fruit of his own life, that fruit which we can only eat by being able to take it from his hand. During this 40-day season, we are preparing to do that, to join our labors with his. To fast from foods is a way of stripping away all of those things that are unnecessary and secondary and get in the way and are easy for the enemy of God to grab hold of and pull us down to the ground. St. John Chrysostom, when he explains this, compares this kind of spiritual effort to the practice followed by Greek wrestlers. Any kind of loose clothing that your opponent can grab hold of and use to pin you down, you discard. The better to enjoin the struggle. Things of the world that pull you back and keep you from making the spiritual effort, discard all of those things, get rid of them for a purpose. Not giving them up for Lent, and that's the end of it, but getting them out of the way so that the body can do its job. Because the body is our helper in the Great Lenten effort. If we are going to have the help of the body in actually living a spiritual effort, we've got to get the things out of the way that hold the body back. Temporarily, we fast the body. We use the body so that we can turn our soul and our heart and our mind and our strength toward God, to plant the things within us in the spring that if we nurture them and help them to grow during this next 40 days may bear fruit for who knows how long into the rest of the year. But if we never make that effort to clear the ground of all of the brush and all of the brambles and all of the things that are sucking the life out of us, clear the new ground and plant the new seeds, those logi spermaticoi, those seeds that are the words of God, those seeds of the love and wisdom and compassion and all of the qualities of divine life that are meant to be our own, because they are planted in us and grow to their full maturity, so that when that fruit is ripe, there will be something in them of the taste of eternity, something in them of the taste of the divine life that God Himself, the one who came to be the greatest of gardeners, offers to us as the fruit of His own work. We do the same kind of work that He does, each one of us in our own small way, and each one of us uniquely, because for each one of us, the preparing of the ground within us is going to involve clearing away brush and brambles and thorns that plague us, each one of us individually. We each have individual things that plague us. When we come to the sacrament of confession, those things that it seems we confess over and over, again and again, all of those things we abandon during the fast, not just from food or from meat, but as Chrysostom says, from sins. Each one of us has our own ground to clear, but all of us are involved in this labor together. And at the end of this season, once we've been prepared in this kind of way, then when it comes time for Holy Week and we contemplate the work that Christ Himself did during the week of His Passion, we will be in tune with the effort that He has made. Because in our own little way, we have made an effort within ourselves to get rid of all of those things that are contrary to the life of God Himself. We will desire the eternal life that we see Him winning for us on the cross. And when Pascha comes, we will be able to keep the feast, not simply by at last being able to have meat again, but keep the feast in the true way. You know, I think one of the first insights that I had when I went to seminary is the fact that it is much more difficult to keep the feast than it is to keep the fast. We can decide, at least at a legalistic kind of basic level, what we're not going to eat and just not eat it. We can do that for 40 days and never have entered into the spirit of the fast. Or we can make the kind of serious spiritual effort that we've thought about here this morning. But when that day comes, when the feast day comes, when the Feast of Feasts, Pascha, the Easter time comes, will we be able to keep the feast with Christ? Will we be able to participate and share in the eternal life that we are enabled to live in this world today? Because the garden has been returned to us. The garden is this new life that we have been given to live together. It's not just that we've been saved from going to hell. We have been returned to paradise in the sense that now we can again raise that fruit that Adam and Eve were called to raise in the garden. The fruit that we endeavor to plant and to nurture and hold out the hope of eating that fruit on the day of Pascha, along with the fruit of the labor of Christ. That's the reward. That's keeping the true feast, the feast of Pascha. That is the joy of the fruit of the tree of eternal life, where our lives are restored and returned to us. That life has been given back to us in order for us to be able to live it. If we're going to live it in the world, then there has to be a period of time when we plant the divine virtues in ourselves and nurture them so that we can eat of the fruit of the tree that Christ destroyed the power of death on, the fruit of living His eternal life in this world today. If we never make that effort, if there is never a transformation within ourselves where we engage in this spiritual effort and God helps us because we're not alone in this effort. As soon as we turn our hand toward raising within ourselves the strong virtues at one with Christ that are meant to be our own, we find that we're not alone. We're not struggling alone against an adversary in the dark. We are working together with God to raise within ourselves the divine goodness of God, to flourish within ourselves. And that's the effort that we are called upon to make beginning tomorrow. That effort will begin today with forgiveness of one another, because we have not lived with one another as we ought to have lived with one another. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.